Welcome to the Milk Bottle Labs Shopify e-commerce podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, officially Ireland's top-rated Shopify experts. Milk Bottle Labs are loved by Shopify store owners around the world and host the fastest-growing Shopify meetup quarterly in Ireland's capital, Dublin. This podcast is supported by Rare.io. Rare helps Shopify store owners increase your sales with smart and personalized email marketing. Thanks for listening. Now over to your host, Keith Matthews.
Hey folks, welcome to the Milk Bottle Labs Shopify e-commerce podcast. Each week we discuss all things Shopify. So whether you're a Shopify merchant, a Shopify developer, a Shopify partner, or a Shopify expert, or simply fascinated by Shopify just like me, this is the podcast for you. This week, I am delighted to be joined by a dear friend of Milk Bottle Labs, Mike Potter. Ottawa-based Mike is the founder of our favorite Shopify app, Rewind, and the app Replay. He's an energetic entrepreneur, he's hiring people, and he loves sharing his story. Last year, Mike presented at our largest ever Shopify meetup in Dublin, and we got a great reaction from his presentation and from his story, and we shared a few pints of Guinness after. So I made sure that Mike was going to be the first interviewee on episode one of the Milk Bottle Labs Shopify e-commerce podcast. Mike, how are you?
Great, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Listen, Mike, thanks for joining us. The last time we met actually was in Dublin at our meetup in mid-year. And when we met originally, you gave me the history of Rewind, and you have an interesting history yourself. Can you run through how you eventually led up to arriving at Rewind?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we had a great time there, didn't we? You know, I started Rewind with my business partner James about 3 years ago. I had run a previous startup about 5 to 6 years ago, ended up working with James, my business partner, for a bit at another company. And I just emailed him and I said, you know, I really want to work with you again. Loved what we were doing. And let's see if we can do something. And so we started working on another product, had nothing to do with Shopify, completely different. We worked on that for about 6 months, tried to give it a good go. Really wasn't working out. You know, there was nobody that was installing it. We couldn't get anybody using it. So one day I went up to him and I said, you know, what if we did backups? Now I'm a big backup guy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've lost data, you know, on my work computer. I've lost data at home. And I really, you know, have made a promise to myself now that that's never going to happen. So, you know, at home, I back up my backups. I've got 2 hard drives at home. Those are both mirrored into the cloud so that I don't lose any data. I've lost those important pictures, you know, of kids. I've lost important data from my work computer. I was doing a presentation one time in Chicago. I used to be a technical evangelist at Adobe, and I was doing a presentation in Chicago in front of a few hundred people, and my boss and my hard drive crashed there, and I lost that whole entire hard drive. Like, I've had those experiences, and I think if you've had those, you know the importance of a backup, and you know you really want to make sure that you never go through that again, right? Because it really is just a hopeless feeling that you get in the pit of your stomach when you go in and, you know, your computer doesn't boot up, or your hard drive doesn't have all the files on it, or what have you.
Mike, it's interesting that you say that, because people that are listening would probably think that when we now live in the world of the cloud, that backup isn't required. But when you get into the detail of the app, obviously backup is required. When you said you contacted your business partner, what year was that? Was that long ago?
2015. We started this, 3 years ago.
Okay.
You know, Keith, your reaction is the same as James's was, right? I mean, when I told him, I said, I think we should do backups for Shopify. He said, why would you do that? It's in the cloud. Like, it's all backed up. That's definitely the assumption that most store owners have.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, since you visited us during the year, we put your app in any store that we build as a kind of a default. Initially, when we talk to the client, they kind of don't understand why it's required. And then eventually, after a very short 2-minute conversation, they understand why it is absolutely required. So that's it's the opposite to the way the majority of people would think. I suppose the perception is not the reality. So at that time then, did you sit down, you know, I know you told me before you had experience or you knew of Shopify. Obviously, Shopify started in Ottawa. And could you just explain how you went? I know how you ended up choosing Shopify, but just explain the link there with Toby and the Ottawa base. You guys are pretty much close to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're in Ottawa and they're in Ottawa. And to be honest with you, when we first started it, we really just wanted to work for them. I mean, the company was growing amazingly well. I mean, it's been the darling of the Ottawa tech scene for probably the last decade, at least, I would say. And so, even 3 years ago, even 5 years ago, I was trying to figure out how do you get in there. And so, 3 years ago, I said, why don't we just do Shopify? We can build this product and, maybe we'll build a cool app and they'll hire us. We can get a job there. I've always said that the best way to get a job at a company is to make it, right? Build it on your own and build something that company needs and then make your job, make it happen. And so that was sort of the original intent. We built the entire application to really mimic their technology stack as much as we knew. And so, when they came in, we would have been able to say, okay, it's built on the same technologies that you guys are using internally. We're familiar with your APIs and we'd love to work with you. And turns out that rather than do that, we've built a pretty successful app with, tens of thousands of people who've installed it now and growing very, very well. We're just about to hit just past 15 people and we'll be 20 people by the end of the year. So we're growing nicely and we're saving stores and we're helping people recover their data, which is really honestly the most important thing in my mind.
Fantastic. And I think when we met, which was 4 or 5 months ago, I think you were up to 10 people. And I remember you telling me that you were going home to confirm some more hires. That's a great story. So Mike, you come up with this idea, you're on startup number 3 or startup number 4, you succeed. And how do you sell that app to the store owners? So could you just explain the importance of the Shopify, the app store and the Shopify ecosystem and all of that?
Yeah. Because Shopify done, an amazing job at building this ecosystem, like you said, the app store, the themes ecosystem, their partner program. I think they've done an incredible job at driving people to that. So the way that people find Rewind, they go to the app store and they do a search for backup and they'll find us, or they can go to apps.shopify.com/backup and they'll find us. And there's a button on that page that says, in get or install in your store. I forget what it says now because they've just redesigned the app store. And so once that button is clicked, the store owner is presented with a permissions dialogue. And that permissions dialogue details what exactly Rewind is going to get access to. So, because we're a backup app, we request and get access to all the information in your store. But just as a public service announcement to any, any store owner that is out there installing an app, you really want to make sure on that screen that the permissions that the app is looking for makes sense. If you're looking on that screen when you're installing the app and those permissions, you're thinking that I don't know why that app needs that permission, give it a second thought and maybe contact the developer and talk to them. But you go to the app store, you install the app, and then once you've installed the app, the next thing is to select a plan. And the great thing about the Shopify app store is really the way that apps are built. So with Rewind, we build directly onto your Shopify invoice. So when you pick a plan, you then authorize Rewind to charge your Shopify invoice anywhere from free up to a couple hundred dollars a month, depending on the size of your store and how well you're doing and how many stores you have. And that charge gets added onto your Shopify invoice on a monthly basis. And then Shopify in turn pays us after they've received payment from the customer. So it's a fantastic program. Our conversion rate, because people don't have to pull up their credit card, we don't have access to their credit card information. The conversion rates are higher. People are more likely to test apps as, they trust Shopify that if they uninstall the app, then they won't be billed for the service. There's a level of trust there that Shopify's built for their store owners that we certainly take advantage of by being an app in their app store.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And in terms of the complexities of installing Rewind or Replay, we've come across on a regular basis apps that require some deep coding. So, but yours is plug and play, if I remember correctly, is it?
Yeah, we've really focused on making both apps, so Rewind for backups and Replay for, you know, copying one from one store to another or cloning a store from one store to another. We really try and focus on the usability of those apps and making sure that they're as easy to use as possible and as simple for people to use. So with a Rewind app, for instance, there are literally no options. You don't pick when you back up your store. You don't pick what you back up. You don't pick where the backups are stored or anything like that. It's, you know, our philosophy has always been business owners have more important things to do than to worry about a backup and configuring that. And so we really focused on ease of use and making it so that people can get started as quickly as possible and then get back to whatever it was that they were doing to, you know, run their store and grow their sales. So, yeah, we've really tried to make that to, I'd say, a core tenant of any application that we've built. It's just been make it as easy to use as possible. These store owners typically are busy people. Backups should really not be something that they're worried about or thinking about.
And given the success of the app and you know, I suppose you can measure apps success in a number of ways, you know, in terms of revenue, in terms of number of downloads, in terms of number of monthly subscribers, is there any specific use case which you, Mark, you know, you regard as a success point? Any particular use case where you actually genuinely did save a business? You must come across them on a regular basis through interacting with clients, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are the most, you know, those are the ones that we love the best, right? Is whenever we're able to help a customer. I think the most, you know, we've got some great stories of how we've been able to do that. I remember one customer whose cat jumped on his keyboard and messed up his theme, and we were able to recover that data, obviously quite easily. We had one customer a couple of weeks before Christmas had an integration with another app, and they deleted all of the products from the store, which, you know, you'll sometimes get when there's data that's being synced from one location or one app into another app, you know, so you have an inventory management app or something like that. Those are typical sort of, you know, points that we see where you might want to make sure you've got a backup if you've got other apps that are installed. We've been here in the Shopify ecosystem. We've been here for almost, you know, 3.5 years. So we've seen certainly a lot of things that, you know, most people probably would never think of. But the majority of the ones that we really like are when we're able to help those customers out. Unfortunately, like you mentioned at the start, there's still a lot of people who don't know that they need it. You know, and while Shopify does have a backup of the entire system in the cloud, they don't let individual store owners go and rewind their own data, which is what we do. And that really surprises a lot of people when they, you know, they make a mistake in their store, they accidentally delete something, then they go into, you know, the support chat and they ask Shopify, you know, I just deleted my blog or my pages or my products or whatever, can you help me bring them back? And they're told, no, sorry, when that stuff is deleted, it's gone forever. But if you had installed Rewind, you would have been able to recover it. I'd say those are the ones that maybe frustrate us the most, because those are the ones where we're not able to really show the value of the product and show it working. So the ones where, you know, a customer has installed it, they've been proactive, they've really guarded against making a mistake, and we're able to prove to them that the product works and it's helped them out, those are really the most satisfying, you know, experiences that we have.
Yeah, we've been there. We've experienced that, and we've as I say, we install the store, the app regularly, so we see the positive results. Mike, when I read about Rewind and when I hear you, when I see you, you know, at presentations or when I meet you at Shopify events, it's always Rewind that's the conversation. But I'm actually intrigued by the Replay app. Is the growth trajectory with that app, is it slower or better than the Rewind, or are you seeing people pick that one up as well? So, you know, that's the app that basically allows you to clone the store and push products, push pages across two different Shopify stores. Is that growing as well?
Yeah, it's definitely growing. It's growing quite nicely, actually. You know, one of the first requests we ever got when we launched Rewind was, you know, can I rewind from one store and back and rewind it into another store, back up from one store and rewind it into another store. And we didn't really, when we first started, I guess we weren't really prepared for that use case. We built that feature into the product quite quickly, and now we spun it out into its own app. I think we look at, you know, multi-language stores, multi-currency stores. That's a really good use case for Replay, right? So if you have stores that are running multiple currencies for different regions or multiple languages for different reasons, Replay allows you to copy from one store into the other store. You know, you can set it to ignore certain attributes like the price, for instance. So if you do have two currencies that you're selling in, when you make a change in one store, it won't change the price in another. We've learned a lot on how customers are using that. I know Shopify is building some of that functionality into the product, or at least they've given indications that they're going to build some of that functionality into the product, especially on the plus side, right, where they're going to add support for multi-currencies, they're going to add support for multiple languages into Shopify Plus. And so, you know, we think there's definitely an opportunity for Replay because, you know, they're proving that customers want to do that by building it into their feature set. Replay functions as a bunch of different ways for us. And certainly we like to help our customers. It's also a nice testing ground for us where it has, you know, it has fewer customers than Rewind does. And so if we have any new Shopify APIs or if they're changing their system, we can test it in Replay first, and then we can put that code back into Rewind so it's not affecting as many customers.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Yeah.
But we've got a few hundred, you know, stores that are using Replay for copying from one store to the other, cloning their stores. We've added the ability to do that automatically now. So as you make a change in one store, it's automatically propagated into the other stores, which I know a lot of people are really liking that feature. So it's definitely got some good potential. I think Shopify has proven that, you know, that there's demand for it because they're integrating some of those features into the core product. I think the only question for us is whether, you know, long-term there's enough of a market outside of Plus. You know, Shopify is pushing Plus quite hard these days, and rightly so, a lot of value there. Is there enough of a market outside of Plus for that app to survive? Or you know, longer-term, do we see them just sort of absorbing that into the product like they've done for a couple of other apps as well?
Yeah, just for our listeners, so Shopify Plus is the enterprise version of Shopify. So Shopify Core is the platform that the majority of Shopify users will be on. Shopify Plus is for enterprise. It's got some additional APIs and some enhancements that aren't available with Core. That's actually a good point. But I suppose that's really a challenge for most developers then, you know, Mike, which kind of leads me on to my next question. You know, the App Store was updated quite recently. I believe there's between 2,500 and 3,000 apps now live in the App Store.
Yeah, I think that's what we're
doing. So, you know, in the early days when, you know, going back to 2012, 2013, when we were kind of hovering around Shopify, you know, we were looking at probably 400 or 500 apps in the App Store. Is there a growing trend besides the fact that there's obviously more marketing apps in it within the ecosystem because they help you sell? You know, can you see any trends within the App Store, or, you know, is there an area, like, you've clearly focused on a niche, which is very, very clever, but is there any other trend that you can see besides the obvious ones that's occurring in the App Store?
You know, the other things that we're seeing, there are people out there that are looking to consolidate a bunch of apps together, right? So you look at Bolt Commerce, for instance, and how successful Bolt has been in the App Store. There are certainly people out there that are looking to replicate Bolt's success and sort of copy their formula of having multiple apps. That was certainly a strategy that we thought about when we were first, you know, building Rewind, and then we built Replay, and we thought, do we want to focus on building apps for Shopify, or would we want to focus on, you know, just a backup service and being able to back up any SaaS service that exists out there? And, you know, we've obviously decided to back up any SaaS service, but there's other people who are now, you know, trying to copy Bold, I would say, and acquire some apps. So I think you'll see in the next little while, you'll probably see a bit more consolidation. Some of the apps that have been there for a few years are growing quite large. You know, Rewind is certainly one of them, but there are other apps out there that are doing even better than we are. And I think you'll see that as the larger the apps grow, you know, the bigger the barrier there is to somebody coming in and competing in that space. So the market leaders seem to be establishing themselves in the various categories of the App Store. And I think their position as market leaders is probably going to be cemented in the next, 12 months or so, probably. But those are sort of two major things that I've seen going on. I think everyone that I've talked to from an app perspective is really trying to adjust to the new app store. The old one had been out, you know, like you guys had mentioned, you know, we've been looking at it since 2012, 2013. So it's been around for, you know, 5 to 10 years. I think people had a good sense of how it worked and how people discovered apps in the app store, and they tailored their product descriptions and their app store listings to attract as many visitors as possible. And I think Shopify has changed some of those, you know, algorithms behind the scenes and in terms of how they highlight certain apps. So I think a lot of people are just getting used to trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do we get seen? How do we get that visibility that we used to have and make sure that, you know, we're continuing to grow month over month. And so I think, you know, you'll see in the next little while, some people are going to be adjusting their listings and trying to figure out, okay, how do we continue to grow sales? I've heard from a few developers that the new app store is initially resulting in fewer downloads and fewer installs. From our perspective, we haven't seen that, but I've talked to a few people that are experiencing that. And then I've seen some people discussing in the Slack groups that, you know, you really need to focus on the sales experience if you're one of these app developers. So I think where maybe before you were able to get away without having a sales team to follow up on some of the installs and the leads that you were getting because there was just so much business, with less installs, you really need to make sure that you've got that you're a proper company, really, Keith, is the best way to put it, right? That you're following up on the installs from a sales perspective, that you're marketing to them, that your support is there in case somebody needs help. You know, all those aspects can't really be run by a single person. You know, you can't have one person that's doing development and reacting to all the API changes that are going on in Shopify and doing marketing and doing support and doing sales. You need a team of people. And I think that's what we're finding now is those apps that are truly, you know, real businesses, as opposed to just maybe apps, which they might have been a few years ago. Those real businesses, I think, are starting to rise to the top and like I said, become the market leaders in the categories.
Yeah, that's an interesting takeaway. It's no longer, you know, one man in a bedroom running intercom. It's, you know, you have to step up to the mark. I suppose based on what you're seeing, Mike, really then we'll probably see some consolidation as well. We'll probably see some app companies joining together and a few players then becoming more dominant.
I think so. I think, you know, and there's always, you know, these sort of inflection points, you know, like the App Store redesign, for instance, is a point in time where it allows a developer to reflect on, do they want to continue with the work that they've done and continue to see it, or do they want to move on to something else? You know, if they're not a full-time company and they're not building a real business and they're just doing it for themselves, you know, it's a time where they can step back for a second and say, okay, what do I want to do next? Is the Shopify app ecosystem still what I want to work on, or have my passions moved to something else? And so I think you get those trigger points, like, you know, when that new app store launched and there was work involved in putting up your new app store listing, you know, that's a trigger point. That's work that people have to do. And if they're not really committed to it, then it's an opportunity for other people to come in, purchase those apps, take them over, you know, handle the proper support. So I definitely think you're going to see that consolidation. You know, it might not be visible and sort of store owners because the apps are still going to be there, but they'll be in the background, they'll be owned by different people. And so I definitely see that coming in the next, you know, 12 months or so for sure.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that because we're actually seeing a change in the market on this side, on the expert side, on the, you know, the store build side, where customers are actually requiring somebody at the end of the phone. And then they're also, you know, requiring, you know, value added services like, you know, marketing services and, you know, automated email services, that kind of thing. So, it is interesting. I think you're dead right. It's now more complicated to run a business, even though you're running it on the back of another platform. You know, the systems required, the organization required, and the manpower required is increasing all of the time. So that's a pretty valid point.
And I think that's good for store owners, right? Like I don't know what you would think about that, but I think that's good for store owners because it sort of takes away the people who who may not have been as professional, who might not have done as good a job. You know, if the barrier to entry sort of goes up, you know, like you said, where you're requiring this sort of level of professionalism to operate in that ecosystem, then to me, the end winner is the merchant who's now able to work with, you know, professional companies and not have to worry so much about the quality of the people that they might be working with or that they might be finding in the experts program or the app store.
Yeah, you're right. And in fact, it works to, if you're a professional app developer, you're a professional expert and you operate, you know, a proper ship, as they say here, well, then it actually works to your advantage because once you give the customer, the Shopify merchant, a good experience and you over-deliver, well, then in actual fact, it makes the previous developer look, the guy that doesn't answer the phone, it makes him look even worse. So, you know, it does. Yeah, it works. It certainly works to our advantage. And I'm assuming that it's the same in the app world.
Yeah. Just to, I think the key there is you need to make sure that, sorry to interrupt you, but you need to make sure that you're providing, you know, a good service and your quality, you know, the level of quality and the level of merchants that Shopify is getting, I think has grown considerably. There are, you know, some extremely large businesses, very well-known brand names that are signing up and that have been signing up for years. But, you know, obviously as you continue to get more of them on board with, you know, Plus and some of the programs that Shopify has delivered, the level of quality that you need to deliver has to rise as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because, but also the smaller merchant requires a higher standard. You know, like I spoke to a jeweler in Dublin this week and they pointed out Tiffany's site in New York. Now, you know, a small jeweler in Dublin is not going to, you know, get a site with the same functionality as Tiffany's, but it's quite interesting because that's the standard that they're aiming for. Yeah. So, you know, that's a very valid point. They are attracting, you know, they're attracting merchants with higher value and they're also attracting merchants with higher standards. And I think, you know, you can, for a lower budget, you can still deliver a higher standard. So I think that's a good point. Mike, just to finish, you know, where do you, for specifically for yourself, you've clearly developed a wonderful app. I mean, I personally think it's a great story. I mean, in the space of 6 months, you've just told me that you've hired five more people. Where do you see, you know, where do you see Rewind in the next 12 to 18 months?
We have quite a few plans, I think, for how we're going to grow this business. You know, one is, we already back up QuickBooks Online data. And so we're going to look at other services that Shopify store owners are using online and start to back those up as well. So, you know, MailChimp, for instance, seems like a no-brainer where there's quite a few stores that are using MailChimp. It's a popular service on its own. There's no built-in backup functionality, and our customers have actually requested that we back up that data as well. So you'll see Rewind expand out to other platforms. Some of them are already listed on our website, but MailChimp is certainly, I think, at the top of our list. You'll see us do that. We have access to a considerable amount of data in the backups, and we'd really like to take advantage of that data and provide additional value and services to customers. So we're looking at other apps that are out there that are doing sort of something similar to Rewind, moving data in, moving data out of Shopify. You'll see us move into that area for sure. And we've got a couple other things that we've been working on for quite a long time. You know, we can go back to that customer that lost their products just a few weeks before Christmas and had to call us and ask us to rewind their data. We've often thought, you know, why did he have to call us? Like, why didn't we reach out to him since, you know, we were notified by Shopify that his products had been deleted? So we're working on something in that area that we should be releasing, hopefully in early 2019, that I think is pretty exciting, you know, being able to monitor and alert you when there's activity in your store, expanding out to other platforms and leveraging the data that we've got from a backup perspective. So that's sort of in our short-term plans in the next year where we see this going and how we're able to grow this company.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know what, Mike, we might loop back maybe in 12. We'll probably meet in the meantime, but let's put it in the calendar to loop back on the podcast in the next 12 to 18 months. And I'd love to see how much Rewind has grown and how far it's got.
Absolutely. Would love that, Keith.
Perfect. Listen, nice talking to you today. Thanks for your time.
Likewise. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to episode one of the Milk Bottle Labs Shopify e-commerce podcast. You can check out the Rewind app on rewind.io or the Shopify app store. Until next time, thanks folks.